First guideline I want to share with you is to know. Everyone say to know. Joy and the wonder of Christmas is a truth that God has given for you and I to know. We need to know the truth. Amen? Luke 2 is a classical biblical statement of that first Christmas, and it's centered, interestingly enough, on the message that God gave through the angels to the shepherds. Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Well, what was the good news that they brought? I want you to think about this. The shepherds had been exposed to so much bad news, there wasn't much good going on in their world at that time. So when an angel comes and says, "I have good news for you today," this is the good news, shepherds. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That, friend, is truly good news. Not for some of the people, not for most of the people, but for all of the people. Not just for the shepherds, but for anyone who lives, has lived. Not just for the Jewish people, for everyone. See, the shepherds, when the shepherds came, they were Jewish people. The angel came to them. Then we read in the book of Matthew that magi, wise men, God revealed a star to them to lead them to the Savior. They were Gentiles. I'm glad that God put that in there, aren't you? That it wasn't just for the Jewish people. It's also for the Gentiles. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first." Never forget that. Jewish people are still God's chosen people. He's still doing a work. Things are centered there if you are watching the news at all. But also to the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord. Savior has been sent to the world to save you from your sins, to give you eternal life. That's the foundational truth of our Christian faith, isn't it? There's no good news. There will be no good news if there's no Christianity and there's no hope. But now, if there is good news, friends, you and I can live in the light of that beautiful and unquenchable living hope. It's not only unquenchable, it's also incredible, isn't it? Truth was given to Joseph the day of Mary's pregnancy. We read in Matthew chapter 1, a couple of verses. But after he had considered this, considered what? The woman that he was engaged to was found to be pregnant. They hadn't been together, folks. Gossipers are having a really good time with that. You know, the Bible is not fond of gossiping. You ever read that in the scripture? It's one of the marks of the end time, by the way. Slandering, gossiping. It's amazing, isn't it? Joseph was thinking about whether he should put her away or what he should do. An angel of the Lord, continuing on, appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph was prepared for that first Christmas by knowing the truth. He believed the truth. And it finds a great expression in some wonderful verses here in the New Testament. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Isn't that good news, friends? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. Thank you, Lord. Here's one more. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the truth that is being bombarded in this day that we live in today. The teaching that the world does not want to accept, that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that God came in the form of a man, born of a virgin. But friends, it is the truth. I must know, and you must know, and we must stand on it and believe it and affirm it. For all else comes from that truth. It's great to know the truth, isn't it? There's no real Christmas unless you know the truth. So my question for you this morning, friends, is this. Do you really know, capital K-N-O-W, do you really know the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. If you're going to come to the Father, you have to come by the truth. Do you know the truth? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Because to know Jesus Christ is to have life. To not know Jesus Christ is to be lost eternally in a place the Bible calls hell. I didn't say that. God's Word says that. That's why Jesus provided the way. He said, you can know because I came. Jesus said very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way, friends, to eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only way. That's the truth that the world is bombarding today. That's the truth that you and I need to stand on today. God wants you to know Jesus as your personal Savior, and I encourage you, I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, give your life to Him today. Ask Him to come into your life to forgive your sins and to take control of your life, and He will do that. Christian, maybe that knowledge is a little hazy to you today. Maybe in the light of all that you've read, all that you've seen, the experiences you're going through right now, that truth has been overwhelmed by other things. Do you still know the truth? Does that knowledge still bring you joy? That's why we sing the song, Joy to the World. It's joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come. The Bible says that Jesus came and the world did not receive Him, but to those who receive Him, then gave you the power to become children of God. A few years ago, this time of the year, a story was going around about a man in a department store during the Christmas rush, and he noticed a little boy trudging along all by himself. He didn't think much about it until he heard an announcement over the public address system. A little boy named Donald has been lost. Donald is 7 years old. If anyone has seen Donald, please bring him to the information booth. The man was startled when a little boy standing next to him said, "Darn it, I'm lost again." If you don't know Christ, you're lost. If you know Christ, then you're not lost. Come to Him today. Don't you love the hymn Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And oh, how they would love to change that word. What do you mean, wretch? We're not wretches. I don't know. I read the scripture. Without Christ, we're lost. We're doomed. We're done. We're undone. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen, church? Thanks to Jesus Christ, we can be found. What was the heavenly response to the truth of the incarnation? God becoming man, Luke 2:14. Says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Glory to God in the highest. I hope that was more than a song. You were singing it this morning. Glory to God in the highest. I like to say it loudly because I think it was proclaimed loudly. I don't think they came and said, "Hey, shepherds, let me give you some news. It's pretty good." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom His favor rests. Let that always stir you and move you. Why did the angels sing? They sang because they knew. They knew what was going on. They had knowledge. We have faith. They have knowledge. And they sang and they rejoiced. You and I have faith. Shouldn't our response to that truth be to rejoice and to praise God with all of our hearts and with all of our minds for what God has done for us? Can you say a good amen to that? Guideline number two is to go. Everyone say to go. Let us go, the shepherds heard. Let us go. They responded, church, and they acted. Day before Christmas, little Bobby was up in his room trying to be good. He was being so quiet that his mother called and said, "Bobby, what are you doing in your room?" "Nothing," Bobby replied. "With you and God and Santa Claus watching me all the time, I can't do anything." Well, that only works for little kids. And then Santa Claus notwithstanding, actually you and I can do something. We have faith. But the Bible is clear. We act on our faith. We act on our beliefs. It's a release of true joy and the wonder of it all. Luke 2:15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They heard, they absorbed, they received, they went, they saw the truth, and it all sank in to them. When that happened, the Bible said they were full of joy of the revealed truth. You know what happened next? They became witnesses. Isn't that great? They became witnesses. When the knowledge came, because they knew it was true, they became witnesses. They went out and began to tell about this wonderful experience, how they had encountered the heavenly host. They went and they told. It's a natural response, I think, for the Christian when they come into truth, is a desire to tell somebody else about that truth. True story. Several years ago, a man was executed in the United States for a crime. He was a Muslim man. He was executed for murder. And his last statement on earth was, "Allah is the one true God." And when I heard that, when I read about that, I thought, well, we know the truth. And if we know the truth, that ought to create a desire and a zeal and an urge to tell someone else the truth. God, Jesus Christ, is the one true God. The last words on our lips in this life should be, "Jesus Christ is my Savior." No matter what you hear today, folks, one true God. No matter what you read, Jesus Christ is the only way, the Son of God. If others will witness for a God who is not really God, shouldn't the church witness for the one who is the true God? I think so. There's a hunger in the world today. There's a hunger in the world. There's a desperation in the world. The world wants to know because all the foundations that they've put their trust in are falling apart all around them. All the things they put their hope in are being taken away one after another. What's worked for them before in the world is not working now. And we have a great privilege not only to know the truth, but also to go and proclaim the truth. Let's do it. Amen. Like the shepherds, let's do it. Let's look for opportunities that God really puts in our lives pretty much every day to give a word for him. People looking for an answer. The Bible says, be ready always. Maybe it's just somebody that you encounter in your workplace or your neighborhood who just begins to ask questions or you answer, and maybe just as much as inviting them to church to hear the truth. Be loved by God's people and to encounter God. It's simple. I was sharing with Jeannie this last Wednesday. I was just walking out of church and in the parking lot right outside the door, there was this beautiful new Mustang, and this guy had this cloth and he was rubbing this, and I thought he must be from church. I didn't recognize it. I went over and said, "Hey, sweet ride, man. That is a beautiful vehicle." He said, "Well, thanks." He said, "I'm in my 60s. I never could afford to get the car I always wanted, but now that my kids are all grown and gone, I can get a car that I really like." I said, "Well, it is really beautiful." So I said, do you go to church here?" He said, "No." He introduced himself, and I introduced myself, and he said, "Do you go to church here?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I was the senior pastor, and now I'm a senior associate pastor." He said, "What kind of church is it?" I said, "Well, it's an interdenominational church, and you know, we proclaim God's word." And he said, "So, what's your church's stand on abortion?" I said, "We believe that all life is precious. And the womb, and every life." He said, what do you believe about gay marriage?" I said, "It doesn't make any difference what I believe. It's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches one man and one woman." What was the other question? There was one other one. Oh, he said, "Well, how long do you speak on Sunday morning?" I said, "Well, you know, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 25, 30 minutes around there." So I said, "Why don't you come and join us? Check it out." He said, "What time does your church services start?" I said, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. He said, I'm gonna think about it. He said, "I think I will." I hope he's there this morning, hearing the truth. I hope God just gloriously comes into his life and he gets saved and great things happen. What did it take? You know, was that a great evangelistic move? It was life as we know it. That's what evangelism is. Take it with you where you go. We painted a sign over our exit doors. It says you're now entering your mission field. You leave church, you're entering your mission field. Right? It's out there. It's not here. Your mission field is out there. We need to know, we need to grow, and thirdly, we need to go, and then we need to grow. Amen? We need to grow. Because of the truth of Christmas, we are compelled to grow into it. The shepherds were exposed to the truth, became the focus of that experience. To you, a Savior is born. His name shall be called Emmanuel. The time had fully come, God sent His Son. Shepherds began to grow from that truth. What did they grow from? They grew from fear to faith because of the good news. They were living in fear. They were living in darkness. Fear overwhelmed them. But when they came and experienced the truth, Jesus Christ, they began to grow from fear to faith. What is the fear factor, I ask you today, in your life today? What do you fear? Something within you that may say, this isn't reasonable. This isn't right. I don't like it. It's controlling my life. It's controlling my actions. Friends, listen to me. To the degree that fear is in your life, to the degree that fear controls you, is the degree that you are a slave to that fear. Why did Jesus continually say, I think his most oft used phrase was, don't be afraid, fear not. Don't be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Fear is an enemy of the child of God. He doesn't want you or me to live in fear, does he? It's not a spirit of fear, and it is a spirit. The Bible says, no, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When we know and begin to grow in the direction, God begins to take those chains of fear that would hold us bondage, and he takes them away, and we become a true servant of God. Paul gives us one of the great pictures of growing of a believer from a slave to a son. It's a great verses. I want you to receive what the Spirit may implant in your heart, maybe in a new way with this scripture. Galatians chapter 4. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. And we can add daughters there. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Amen? Wow, isn't that good news? What a great picture of Christian growth from slavery to freedom, sonship, daughtership, the privilege of becoming a child of God, all made possible because of the gift of Christmas. The vital challenge for you and me is to grow in the understanding of Christmas, to grow in God's grace and love. Somebody once said, if Christmas is only a holiday, it'll become then a hollow day. We don't want Christmas to be a hollow day. We want it to be a true Christian holiday. A little girl was helping to assemble the Christmas manger. This is a true story in her church, and she was happily naming the figures she found. Here's Mary, she said. Here's Joseph. Here's the shepherds. Here's the wise men. Here are the angels. Here are the animals. And then her voice faltered, and she cried in alarm. But I can't find baby Jesus. Where is baby Jesus? I can't find him. I've lost the baby Jesus. And when I read that, I thought, that little girl is growing in the understanding of the Christmas story. No Christmas in the world, friends, until Christ comes. There wasn't till he came, and there won't be in your life till he comes. No real meaning. Be a growing Christian. Lose the fear today. Let the work of the Holy Spirit remove those things from your life that would cause you to become a slave to those things. And the real powerful foundational way that you're going to grow is if you're into the Word of God. I don't think it's an option for a Christian, do you? I can't just have Sunday morning as my taste of Scripture for 30 minutes or maybe through a song and expect that that's going to keep me going through the week. It'll never work. You'll never grow. You'll never prosper in your Christianity unless you are a person of the Word. It's the antidote to the lies that are being told in our world today. We need to know it. We need to stand on it. God wants to give you, you know what, a love for the Word. He really does. So my prayer for you is that not God will give you, you know, you say, well, you know, I like the word. No, God wants to take a past like, past an affection to a love. If you love something, you want to be with that person, right? If you love something, you want to do that. If you love God's word, so God, give us a love. Give us a new baptism of love for the word of God even today. And when you open that Bible up, you say, Holy Spirit, bring something fresh and new to me as I read the scripture. I guarantee you, he'll give you something fresh and new. And you'll be amazed. You see, you know, I've read that scripture 100 times before, but wow, look how it stands out right now to this circumstance in my life. To know, to go, to grow. You know what the last one is? You know, they have to rhyme. That's what a pastor does, right? It's to glow. Stands to reason, doesn't it? Are you a glowing Christian? Yeah, you ought to be. We should be glowing Christians. After that encounter, after the worship, there was a glow about them. Why? Because they had been in the presence of Jesus. You and I have experienced Christ, haven't we? You've experienced his presence. And we've experienced, when we have experienced his presence, there ought to be a glow about us. There ought to be something about the Christian that says, this person is different. Not weird, just different. Christ has made a difference in their lives, in your life. He's made a difference in your home. He's made a difference in your workplace. He's made a difference in your relationships. Something ought to glow within us. Something ought to burn within us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. You remember this men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had arisen from the dead, and they didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize. Jesus comes alongside, and he's walking with them, and he's talking with them, and he's sharing scripture with them. And they didn't know until he left their presence who he really was. A great scripture was when they asked each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while we were with him on the road? And he opened the scriptures to us. A burning because of the presence, a glowing. When everyone else is losing their heads today in the circumstances of life, you can keep yours. When everyone else is falling to fear, you can move in faith. When everyone is grieving because they have no hope, you can grieve with people, but you grieve as someone who has hope. The world will say, how can you have hope? And you can share, because Jesus Christ is in my heart and my life, and life is not about me anymore. It is about him. It is about his life. It's about what he's done in my heart. God took and he personalized me. He grabbed my life. He forgave my sins. He turned me around from a one-way road to hell to a road to eternal life. That's your testimony and mine. That should make us glow. Jeannie always liked to talk about the fragrance of Christ. There should be a fragrance of Christ that just attracts the world to us. Jesus is what it's all about. For the shepherds, praise followed the reality of being in his presence, and it should for us as well. See if Isaiah 61 describes your part in this journey. Isaiah 61, a couple verses. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. I greatly delight in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Because we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, because he lives in our hearts and our lives, we will greatly rejoice in God our Savior. Amen? You know what? The shepherds went back, by the way, to being shepherds. They went back to their profession. They went back to their lives, but they went back as different people. They were changed in everything, and their lives would be changed forever because of their encounter with Jesus Christ. Instead of a spirit of despair that was prevalent in their world at that time, they now wore the garment of praise. It's a natural outflowing of experiencing the presence of God. Praise and worship ought to be a natural flow for the church, don't you think? Not just on Sunday morning, right? but maybe every day. As we move through life on Monday through Saturday, Sarah Groves, should name ring a bell to you? She's a wonderful Christian singer, friend of our daughters. They went to school together. But she wrote a song called The First Song That I Sang. Just some of the words. She said, in the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day. Before my schedule tells me that my day is full, before I'm off and on my way, I want to praise you. I need to praise you. Let the first song that I sing be praises to my God and King. Before the curtains part, before my day is starting, before I make up the bed, before the snooze alarm reminds me that it's morning, before the dreams have left my head, I want to praise you. I need to praise you. Let the first song that I sing be praise to my God and King. That's a great song, and that's a great motto, the first song. Let me close here with this illustration. True story. At a married couple's retreat, the participants were asked to write a one-sentence answer to the question, whether born into the faith or drawn into it, why do you now remain a Christian? A one-sentence answer. And that brings us to the title of the message this morning. So one husband and wife answered as follows, we now remain Christians because of our good looks. Later, the participants were asked to write an explanation of their reply. And the, quote, good looks couple responded as follows. Last year, we seriously began to question our Christianity. Therefore, our reasons for going to church, for serving the church, and supporting the church, and so on. Then Christmas came, and we went to church. We went to one of those candlelight services. We prayed the prayers. We sang the songs. We listened to the message. And when it was over, we walked hand in hand to the front of the church. We stood before the manger scene that was there. And through the eyes of faith, we took some good looks. We took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem. And somehow we understood more clearly that in Jesus Christ, God is showing us a once and for all, always way about what life is all about. We took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem, and somehow we understood more clearly all the beauty in the world, all nature, music, and the arts, courage, loyalty, devotion, goodness, truth, love, and joy can be expressed in one word. We see it all in the name, Jesus. We took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem, and somehow we understood more clearly that God is always with us in our joys and our sorrows. God is always with us, constantly affirming our unique value and worthwhileness in the scheme of things and the unique and worthwhileness of others too. They said we took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem, and somehow in the image of God's supreme gift of himself for the world, we understood more clearly that the most redemptive, healing, saving gift that we could offer other people is the gift of God living through us and sharing with others. We took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem, and somehow with renewed conviction, we could say like the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We took a good look at the babe of Bethlehem, and somehow with renewed conviction, we could say with the Apostle Paul, we believe that you are the Son of God. Friends, take a good look today and let your faith be established or renewed and strengthened because you know. And because you know, you can go. And because you go, you'll grow. And if you do those things, you will glow in your lives for Jesus Christ.